Well, let's see here. It looks like I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty. So, oh, there we go. Guys, have a great evening. Thank you.
Hey, this is KHEN LPFM Radio 106.9 Salida, community-supported radio, streamed on the internet at khen.org, and you're listening to the program Truth Quest with Melody. With my and I want to thank Emily on another fine program of Chick's Voices. It's 9:02, and this is May 20th, 2008. It's 69.8 degrees. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program on, or any past programs, they are now available on www.givemesometruth.info on the audio archive page, along with upcoming guests located on the homepage of TruthQuest. The archives are also linked from the khen.org website. And my special guest tonight is Freeman Fly with the Freeman Perspective, and he's highly talked about as one of the favorite guests to have on some of the talk show host programs that I like to listen to. And the opinions and views expressed on this program are those of myself and or my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And this was written by Freeman about himself as I produce and host a show in Austin called the Freeman perspective, and I've discovered a ritual being performed all around us in the open by our leaders, and I am making documentaries to disclose this information. I cover topics such as corporate logos and their occult Masonic meanings. I unveil the goddess worship going on around us and explore America's goddess Columbia. I've won the ACTV awards for my documentary on HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, which can change weather patterns and negatively affect your health. I have made sure people are aware of the chemtrail program occurring over our heads and in our bodies. I should be considered an alternative historian as opposed to a conspiracy theorist. Although I did predict 9/11 to the day and many other political events, I base my predictions on a study of ancient astronauts and the magic they used, which is today called Kabbalism. Finally, I've realized the power of self-attainment through the recognition of the divine will through synchronicity and miraculous coincidence. If this brotherhood is manipulating the real world through magical means, our imagination is more powerful than any manifest thing. This would explain the amount of effort our leaders put into controlling our thoughts. I am a trailblazer into the new reality because it is sometimes so unbelievable the truth escapes becoming known. Are you there, Freeman?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. What a strange planet we do live on.
Yes, it is. Getting stranger. So, I guess what I'd kind of like to do first is kind of give a little background of, you know, how you got into what you're doing and, you know, and what you're currently doing with your television program and that sort.
Well, it's been a long, strange trip indeed. I have been guided. That's all I can say is that life has guided me forth through knowledge. And I always say that I never went looking for any of this information. I don't really consider myself an expert, but I keep finding myself correct. So I have to start to accept that perhaps I'm on the trail of something and the universe is guiding me to this. How I ended up on TV was the strangest tale of, well, not of all, because I've had some many strange tales. If you really want an esoteric show, just ask me about my life. But imagine, I went to a meeting with an ex-Bilderberger named George Green, and he's talking about the Palladians and their meeting with Billy Meyer in Switzerland. And he's showing us pictures of their flying saucers and showing us pictures of the Palladians themselves. And he actually looks over at me and he says, you know, sometimes the Palladians will visit my lectures and just see what I'm saying. And he's looking directly at me. And strangely enough for me, I've always felt a connection to this Pallades connection. And even at 10 years old, I what I could only call remote viewed an image. And in this image, I outlined the exo-political spectrum of what's now commonly agreed for Earth as to which extraterrestrial race came here. And all of this to me was, well, completely unknown to me. And it's been an adventure all along the way. And so then after the meeting, I was presented with an opportunity to have a TV show. And I took it. And that's as simple as that. I wanted to share this with everyone, and I wanted to show people the synchronistic realms and how it exists and how it leads you forward so that we could start to break free of the mind pattern programming being laid on us by what I now call sorcerers, which would be our leaders like George W. Bush.
Well, they do seem to be into some of the occult symbolism, it seems like.
Melody, uh-huh. It's really hard for me to hear you.
Okay, I'll get a little bit closer there. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so, George Green's kind of an interesting person. In fact, I was just listening to an interview of him today on a program, and he's comes from a Colorado background, and so, and being someone that's kind of done a lot of things in the business world, so how did you end up getting to meet him?
And you consider that here is a man that stood before all of us and said that the Bilderbergers intended to kill two-thirds of the population, that he had turned down his spot in the deep underground military base to go meet Palladians in Switzerland. You know, deeper and deeper. But yes, he was definitely a financial genius. And I met him because a homeless man did my numerology on a city bus.
Now you're talking about your strange coincidences.
My story is true. this homeless man found out where I was staying and came and left a note and said, you have to go to this meeting. I didn't know what it was about. And it was really odd because I already knew many of the people in the audience, and then it turned out they all knew each other. And this is the way I find life is really, because that is our answer. As everyone's looking for the answer and they're trying to figure out which legislation to follow or if Ron Paul's going to save the world or if maybe Hillary won't destroy us all, when actually it's all within our very hearts, and the idea of ceremony is the true key to this whole thing and finding yourself. And as you start to look into what I call the sorcerers, you see that they are using these very same tactics, and that what they do is not so much political or militaristic or even mechanistic, unless you're looking at it magically, but that they're doing ritual ceremony. And as an example, as we look into the Shock and Awe campaign, this is code right there inside of Freemasonic worship. So let's jump back to what is America. And we start to realize that America was founded by a brotherhood that believed in Atlantis. I mean, by their own documentations, they believe in channeling and evoking spirits by their own Freemasonic documents. You know, this is straight from them. And these are the people that we have put in charge of our world. And if we look at America, and you look at what George Washington and L'Enfant did with the street clans of D.C., now why? Why so much effort in putting pentagrams and pyramids in the street clans of D.C.? This was no simple task. So we have to start looking at this a little bit different. And that's where I come in and start to explain some of the symbolism and the potentiality of these ceremonies. I can't say that I know exactly what the hell's going on, but I know that it's stranger than most think.
Uh-huh.
And so you start to just take something simple like corporate logos, and you start to decipher these, and you recognize that our leaders are Freemasonic. Now, this is completely accepted through House Resolution 33. It's stated plain and simply that the Freemasons created, designed, and have controlled America since its creation. But what is Freemasonry, and why don't we know about them? Why weren't we taught about them in our history class if they are so critical? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at secrets and secret societies. But you can continue to track this back to the ancient past. You have to go all the way back to the Egyptian pyramids, to the Mayan pyramids, and realize that these structures are actually devices. They're global-sized devices. They each have their own harmonic frequencies and are attuned to specific regions. And then you'll find all kinds of very interesting ideas that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So as I tracked through corporate logos and found each one of these to have significance within Masonic ritual, and then starting to connect these to the rituals of Osiris, Isis, and Horus, and then watching the Y2K celebration as it was a massive celebration to Horus, and just starting to go down the rabbit hole. I was deep enough down the rabbit hole that when, after Bill Clinton had announced it is a rising sun in the Y2K ceremony, I was seeing a new era come to light. So another grand example of this, and this is probably strange for people to think of as a conspiracy. Now here's the thing, is it our collective consciousness that does this, or is it an actual intentional agenda? But consider that as soon as we reach this age of Horus, which is the revenging or avenging god of the Egyptians, the one that goes and battles the evil brother that took out Osiris, the hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Horus, the hero. At that same time, as we move into this age of Horus and they do all their rituals, which you can see in my film, for Y2K. At that moment, in our comic book realm, Superman dies. Batman has his back broken. And these are both replaced. And we find that Batman is replaced by an angel named Azrael. And Azrael was the leading angel that brought all the fallen angels down here to have sex with the humans in the Book of Enoch. And Batman becomes this evil murderer, and everybody kind of freaked out about that. They have to go back to the original Batman. But then Superman became Hellspawn, and that became the new Superman. And you could see how we got moved into the age of the dark hero.
So in other words, you're saying that a lot of the comic books were based on past, what may have been termed mythological beings, but it has more to it than that.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely goes right into that. If you look at Superman, he is nothing but what a Nephilim or one of these Elohim would be. Now, of course, his name was Kal-El, which El being Lord in Hebrew, and him being an extraterrestrial that came to Earth and therefore has superhuman powers are the same tales of the Egyptians, Neturu, or the Watchers. And it's the same tale, only told in a modern fashion.
That's interesting. So those things are going on all around us, and whether we put the connotation to them from where they originally began.
Yes, once you have the key, it all becomes very clear, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I try to outline it all on freemantv.com, where you can go and look and say, okay, here's this symbol, here's its meaning, and then how does this relate? And, of course, in magic, it just keeps going deeper and deeper, because what we're looking at is like a map of the extra-dimensional realms, which, of course, is what CERN is trying to find.
And CERN is? And CERN is?
CERN. CERN is the largest Hadron Collider in the world. It's in Switzerland near Geneva. And it is a proton accelerator that shoots these protons together. And what they're hoping to do, and it goes online the middle of next month, or they didn't give a specific date, which is I thought was kind of interesting, but it turns on in the middle of June, and they have theories that suggest that matter particles can't go into these extra dimensions, and so what they're going to do is collide these particles at such a high velocity as to create a black hole in Switzerland. Inside of this, well, it's 100 meters under the ground, but inside of this Hadron Collider, and punch a black hole into the universe and see if they can decipher what gives mass to matter. And as we follow these groups, we continually find that, like, Jet Propulsion's laboratory was high into Satanism, along with, what I like to call Satanism, because they're adversarial forces.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Jack Parsons was really a high evil magician, along with L. Ron Hubbard. And they were attempting to destroy matter, along with Einstein's theories, and trying to come up with this idea of how to destroy matter. Now we're going to the other direction, and we're trying to figure out how to create matter. And these have been two things that are very important to this brotherhood. And
so you're saying that a lot of the space program seems to be tied to a form of brotherhood, but it seems like brotherhoods are kind of like part of it's ingrained in the system of humans and the way that they operate in their education to anything. It has that same formula for, the same formula for advancing forward and working through degrees or working through grades or working through their certain levels of their job. Does that make sense?
Yes, the initiation.
Right.
And, well, it gets programmed into our society because of these things. Although you'll find it in other cultures, in the Mayans, and yes, so it has been a part of human conditioning or since as far as we have history.
Mm-hmm.
We have ceremony. But we've been moving away from this and getting more scientific and moving away from our spiritual or ceremonial sides. And so then we're okay with punching holes into the universe and seeing what happens.
Yeah, but if they're picking names and they're picking symbolism, it doesn't, you know, it seems like it's still very much integrated in what they design and do in their science, too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. If you look at CERN's logo, it is very simply 666 with a hadron collider moving into a stargate.
Hmm.
So you have two parallel hadron colliders with the number 666.
So how do you think that they don't, I mean, why would they try to do something like that when, you know, creating a black hole could be kind of like, you know, a really major, major event?
It could, and it could be very devastating. We don't know. And if you look into these people, you find that they're not so concerned about that. When they turned on the HARP system, their very scientists were going, well, we're not quite sure what will happen. And sure enough, it shut down power in four northwestern states or midwestern states, and it melted part of the system. They had no idea. And the same thing with the hydrogen bomb. They had no idea. Well, it might ignite the atmosphere. Well, go ahead and do it.
Well, but you might explain what the HARP is.
What's that?
You might explain what the HARP is.
Well, HARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And what this was, they were saying it was a scientific study to try and create a false aurora. So what's really intriguing about this is as they turned it on, we were entering into cycle 23, the solar cycle. And this is very critical because the solar cycle that we were entering was beyond any of the scientists' imaginings. And so they had predicted, they tried to determine how many solar flares will erupt from the sun during the peak of the solar cycle, which is an 11-year cycle. And so at the peak of the solar cycle, they would find, they thought, 100 sunspots. And this is how they would determine how many possible flares there would be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out there were 300 sunspots as opposed to their thought of 100. So the sun was erupting way beyond any of their findings or even thoughts. And on the same time as the sun is going into a massive solar eruption state, they decide to turn on a radio frequency antenna emitter, which is in Gakona, Alaska. It's acres wide, and it shoots ultra-low radio frequency waves up into the ionosphere. And then it causes a plasma cloud into the ionosphere, and with this they could do many numerous things, even use it as a focus to focus sunbeams on a certain area, and the whole golden eye idea. Just before that, the Russians had launched a large mirror into space to try and do the same thing, to direct the solar rays. And I was surprised nobody was concerned about this. And the idea of them being able to turn the sun into a giant magnifying glass, and no one seemed to care.
When did they do this?
I don't have the date in front of me, but this was before 2000. This was in the mid-90s. And I watched this for 3 days. They tried to open the solar panels, to open the spiral shield, and it wouldn't work, according to them, according to the news. Now, I don't trust anything that I'm hearing from the news, but they said that they had to let it burn up in the atmosphere, that it wouldn't open. And not many people were watching that at all.
I don't recall ever hearing about it.
It was going to have the luminescence of 10 moons. It was going to appear to be a second moon in the sky, and yet no one knew about it.
Huh.
So now we consider this idea, and then we have the HARP facility shooting ultra-low radio frequency waves into the ionosphere. At the same time, the sun is shooting its radiation our way in a major way, which coupled could have been disastrous. And I think that they were just very lucky in that we didn't have any major effects. Well, there were some, but they weren't completely, we had many power outages due to this. And I don't know if you remember back in the 70s when we went through another major solar cycle, and they were reporting and warning us that Well, satellite disruption could be television and radio disruption. Do you remember any of that?
Not so much 70s, but I do remember a period in the 90s that there was a lot of it.
Yes, as we progressed into 23, they were definitely freaking out because even their instruments didn't record this class of solar eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And when one of the X-class solar eruptions hit Earth right before the Y2K celebration and laid Paris and New Zealand flat with 180-mile-an-hour winds. But, of course, each time as I was tracking these solar eruptions on the SOHO satellite, the news would report El Nino. And I noted a big conspiracy between El Nino and actually what I knew was solar flare activity. But the news constantly would say, El Nino struck again. I was being able to predict the weather through the solar eruptions, watching them on the SOHO satellite, and was not wrong. Each time they would bring about these superstorms, and then the news would report, oh, El Nino struck again. So I definitely don't trust them on their information. And also, when they try to sell you on the fact that when CERN launches this particle accelerator, they need the grid to analyze the data they receive. And the grid is this new hyperactive internet with all fiber optic lines that can determine and understand the type of information that they're going to get back trying to bust through into another dimension. But this grid is another frightening thing on its own. Now, it's bad enough that they're going to make a black hole in Switzerland, but when we couple that with the launch of the grid and what is nearly AI technology, and they try to sell you on the fact that, well, you could download the whole Beatles anthology in 4 seconds with the grid, but of course it's not for public consumption, it's only for these research studies. This means that they have the ability to do simulation worlds, to be able to determine where people are going to most likely go in what event and how this could work out. It also says that this gives them the holographic technology they've needed all along. But of course, Fox News will tell you, oh, well, now you can play holographic games with your friends all over the world. But as we know, with their ideas on Project Bluebeam and some of the thoughts that they've had, or when I say they, I mean the sorcerers, and when I say the sorcerers, I mean our political leaders, want to create this false flag terrorist invasion, an extraterrestrial invasion. Well, now they have the holographic technologies to do so.
Okay, you might explain what Project Bluebeam is.
Project Bluebeam is the attempt to have a extraterrestrial terrorist so that we can never identify our enemy. And so it was in hopes that they tried to find ways of controlling civilization without complete and total warfare. So they found that one of the key ways of doing this is to keep an enemy in our face. And of course, this is Bin Laden and all of the terrorists. But at the same time, they found that an extraterrestrial race would be a perfect cover, because who's going to know who they are?
Where do you get the proof on that they...
announcing that aliens are our brothers and most likely didn't suffer original sin. Now, that's curious, isn't it?
Yeah, but where do you think that this proof is that they were planning to utilize that sort of event? I mean, I've read the book, or I've got the book, The Report from Iron Mountain, and it's got a real long title, but it was, you know, put together by some military people and back in the 60s, and they mentioned using that sort of warfare and setting that up so that they would, you know, could kind of create a one world. And that would be, you know, just like you were saying earlier about the uniting us against this, you know, attack. Are you familiar with that book?
I have not read that one.
Okay.
I've definitely listened to Alex discuss it a few times and some others. Because my field of study goes a little bit, I like to take off where Alex leaves off. So he'll bring you to Grove, but I'll tell you the connection for this giant 40-foot owl that they're worshiping.
Okay.
I like to get into the inner temples of these Freemasonic orders, and also other secret societies, of course, numerous. But the Freemasons have been one that the world has, or the universe has set up for me to understand. But we start to look into the picture, and it constantly goes extraterrestrial. The Mormons, they were started by a Freemason, Joseph Smith, and their whole history is extraterrestrial. If you take it, the Battlestar Galactica series is actually the Mormon creation myth.
That's one I didn't follow.
Oh, no, it's pretty intriguing. It really kind of struck my heart because as I was doing my research into Columbia and all the connections of Columbia with Sirius and the different extraterrestrial races and how she connects with Lucifer. I know we're kind of jumping around a bit. There's so much, you know. You have to almost reorient your entire mind into understanding this picture. But I was kind of getting off on a tangent there. It was just that they made Starbuck, who is the Luciferian character, into a blonde woman, which fit my theories perfectly. But let's consider where we're at. Now we have this high-frequency active auroral research program that's able to manipulate weather. It's able to cause drastic storms. It can basically do what the solar flares were doing, only from the ground. And so now we have this power of God. And now they also bought up with the HARP system, ARCO, the company that runs this, has also the Neurophone, which is a device that transmits sounds directly into your skin, bypassing your ears altogether.
Wow.
Now we have the ability to generate storms and earthquakes and then also transmit messages into your head. Now this is all straight off of their site. You know, this is nothing I'm going outside of the box for. And then you couple this with this holographic technology that the grid is now allowing to appear, and they can bring about what Left Behind has defined as revelation. Now, if you read Revelations, of course, it's very esoteric, and many of the ideas have been just translated into common form, and now we accept it as, you know, a lot of people think they're going to float up out of their cars when the ascension occurs. But so they can actually generate this very godlike apparition and even have it throwing storms at you.
Well, there are those that even
say that we're not looking into catastrophes and that things are seem to be going very strange. But let's just sorry.
Well, even the Air Force and some of the publications I've read said they claim they own the weather. Is that how they put it?
Yes, owning the weather by 2020 is what they had said. But they definitely started testing with the HARP facility.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I mean, they're open about these things. They're open about the chemtrails. There's a law against chemtrails, and they're open about the HARP facility. You could go there, but they just don't tell you what it really can do. They give you some idea, oh, this will be great for society. But as you start to track these brotherhoods, you find that they have an alternative agenda.
Where do you think the technology for the HARP came from? Could it have been Tesla, or...?
Well, that is what it said. Now, curiously enough, yes, it was definitely based on HARP, on Tesla technology. And the idea of manipulating subtle frequencies. And this is the concept that we find passed throughout time, because the pyramids manipulate subtle frequencies. The pyramids resonate at the tone of F sharp. The Chichen Itza pyramids, if you clap, they resonate as the sound of the Quetzal bird. If you go to Nashville and the Bicentennial Mall that's out in front of the Capitol in Nashville is a harmonically set up device that's in the shape of a Seal of Solomon to bind spirits. So we're looking at their abilities to manipulate subtle frequencies, and this is what HARP would do. Now, the curious thing was that there was one man named Isaac Bonewits, and I had him finally on my show. And he was the only person to ever get a degree in magic. So he actually defined and outlined a straight thesis of magic and received a degree from Berkeley.
Hmm.
By Ronald Reagan, by the way.
Hmm.
And in this book, he defines a magic machine, or what he would consider more of a machine of telepathic powers, able to transmit and receive thoughts. And he describes this machine as a large antenna array connected to a translational device, which we didn't really have the computer when he was writing this, and defined HAARP as a magic machine 25 years before its creation.
Well, we find a lot of those inventions were created or, you know, in somebody's mind long before they made them come true.
Yes, they have been passed down through time. And that's the true key to this, is that that's as the Templars pass knowledge of sacred geometry through the cathedrals and different secrets that they hid within the frescoes and the different architectural designs,
mm-hmm.
have passed down knowledge throughout the ages so that they could carry this forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we find it incorporated in our modern architecture.
Like?
I'm sorry?
You might name some examples of that.
Well, the best example, of course, is the Bicentennial Mall out in front of the Capitol. But also the White House has harmonic frequencies that if you stand inside under the entranceway on an iron post, and you can hear everything that's said a good 100 meters away in the other side of the room, and the sound waves travel completely and straight back to this point.
Hmm.
In the same way, this device out in front of the Nashville Capitol is in the shape of a seal of Solomon to bind spirits. And what we find is that this brotherhood that we've accepted is ruling our lives through House Resolution 33 has been practicing these ancient rituals that go back to the Temple of Solomon. And we find that Solomon was the lead magician that also worshipped the goddess and worshipped, Molech and Asherah and all these other little deities that have come up in Alex Jones' studies and my studies. And that this magic of Solomon is now a mall in front of the Nashville Capitol. And in Nashville, you also have the Parthenon, which is the temple to Athena, and then that's coupled with the temple to Mars, which is a war memorial there. And then just up the street is the Seal of Solomon, Divine Spirits, which is set up so that as you get to the top of the seal, there is the symbol of Tennessee, which is three pentagrams facing each other. And each of these seals is made of a different variation of quartz crystal, or granite with quartz crystal. And we find that this is the same type of technology you'll find in the ancient Mayans and the ancient Egyptians, and that it has 50 columns surrounding these three pentagrams, and if you stand on an iron post in the center of the pentagrams, they then all the sound radiates back at you onto this one central point. And this is something that they have been focusing on and carrying forth, is this concept of harmonics and the manipulation of the subtle frequencies. So HAARP is basically that on steroids, because now it's electronically controlled and manipulated.
Hmm. In one of your interviews, you mentioned something about Leonard Horowitz, and he's been working somewhat with these codes. Well, he calls them healing codes, or chords, I'm sorry, chords. Is that something along the same lines? Is what
yes.
You're, okay.
And, of course, all of this can be used for good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to see what I call it, what is properly called a fascist dictatorship, in that we are ruled by these corporations and that they are the ones that are manufacturing our realities without telling us the truth of their realities. I mean, consider that a Kabbalist magician was asked to design the Twin Towers. He was also asked to design this device out in front of Nashville. So as we look at the picture, we are completely left out of this loop. We don't understand. I don't understand, even after years of studying it, the true purpose of this magic. But yet, they obviously are employing it. And then we look at symbolic things that are going on. So as we storm Baghdad, and they called it the Shock and Awe campaign, well, Shock and Awe is the Hebrew word for the goddess. And the Shock and Awe is the Holy Spirit that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant. And it comes down and it strikes Saddam Hussein, the Shock and Awe. And all the newscasters are saying, well, there's not much shock nor awe. And Saddam Hussein is announcing that he is Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated, and he's rebuilding Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and he's having masonry made to him as Nebuchadnezzar. And the Shock and Awe comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar using the mother of all bombs, which is the Moab. And the Moabites are the very people that came in and were brought by the Holy Spirit to destroy Nebuchadnezzar. So are we looking at ceremony, or are we looking at warfare? Now, the Twin Towers and the Pentagon both had Masonic cornerstone ceremonies on 9/11.
So it sounds like kind of like the tail wagging the dog, too.
I mean, yes, absolutely. As we're looking into this picture, we find that they're giving us one picture, of course, as the profane. But them, as the initiates, have a completely different meaning of understanding in this.
And I've also heard that they looted the museums there in Baghdad, which may kind of even tie in a little bit of your Indiana Jones type possibility.
Exactly. They stormed the Temple of Nana in Ur, which is the ancient lunar deity. See, now these guys, they know. They know that this history goes back. They've got some inner knowledge of how far back their history goes. And certainly if you study Masonic people like Le Plongeon tracking the Masons back to the ancient Atlanteans through the Mayans and the Incas. Le Plongeon is an honored Freemason, and the work of Manly P. Hall, the founder of the American Philosophical Society, traces them from Atlantis. So they have a history that goes back much further than we do,
mm-hmm.
and have a more fuller understanding of how we became where we are, and also of the cycles that we go through. So in knowing that we go through the procession of the equinox, they know that we're at this next point as we enter this new age of light. And as the Earth turns to face the galactic center, we start to receive new radiation. And as we have, all of the things have started to change. The sun was erupting out of control. All of the planets in our system are heating. And we're entering into this era of what is most likely a catastrophe. But as we have tracked in the ancient past, 13,000 years ago, back when we entered the age of darkness that we've been in, there was a crustal shift, a flip of the Earth's poles. And this is documented in scientific work. We have had a crustal shift, a flip of the axis on planet Earth, which, of course, would destroy most everything and is why we don't have much evidence of our ancient past. We have these pyramids staring us in the face, and they are beyond our belief and beyond our abilities to create, but we have no answers because everything got erased. But we find that they're trying to figure out the same thing, and so now our government is building deep underground military bases and doomsday vaults in Norway, and we have to wonder, you know, what they aren't telling us.
Well, I also kind of wonder if a little bit of these food shortages might have to do with them hoarding food.
Yes. I mean, the food was the last tool the emperor needed. And now that Monsanto and other corporations have taken over the genetics of our plants, and yes, they have absolute control over what grows and what doesn't grow, and whether you can eat it or not. They're taking over farms, as many of the Future of Food documentary shows. And Monsanto is one of the people that's involved in the seed vault in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I have stepped onto a different planet, because just last summer, I'm on my way to Portland, and a large flying V-shaped craft flew over my car just outside of Ogden, Utah. So now I have to keep this in mind as I'm looking at the works on planet Earth, because this is something I have seen, my friends have seen, we all witnessed this.
Well, do you think that maybe we are into that technology and have that kind of flying vehicles?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I absolutely felt this was an Earth-based vehicle, that it was a anti-gravity craft. And what we had seen originally before the craft came directly overhead was just what looked like a row of lights, like what people were reporting in Phoenix, Arizona. And so we watched this, and I filmed the whole thing, but none of it showed up on my camera. But consider when Fife Symington was asked, and asked the governor of Arizona, back when the Arizona and the Phoenix lights were floating over Phoenix, the mayor demanded answers. And Fife Symington, the governor, came forth and said, "Yes, I am bringing the culprit before you." And he brought his assistant, dressed up as a gray alien, and slapped the mayor off of stage. Do you remember this?
No, I wasn't aware of it.
It made me so mad, because at that time I thought maybe he was really going to give us some information. And here they just used it to ridicule the mayor. But now last year, Fife Symington, now no longer governor, comes out and says, "Oh, well, had you seen that thing, you would have known it was otherworldly." Now, 1 minute he's laughing the mayor off stage, and next he's telling us this craft was otherworldly. And then he tells us, "Well, I didn't want to say anything back then because I was worried about the public reaction." So what I see out of this type of information is that they are preparing us for this arrival, and that they want us to think these craft are otherworldly. And now we have, of course, the Vatican involved, coming and saying aliens could exist and that there might have been life on Mars, just as the Phoenix lander is about to land on Mars. We get into this whole concept of a longer history, a longer now of planet Earth. If you want to go a step further, you look at the moon of Iapetus that the Cassini satellite filmed on 9/11 last year, and it looks identical to the Death Star in George Lucas's Star Wars. It's identical. They can't explain it. There's an 8-mile-high wall that surrounds the exact equator, and the craters are in tetrahedron.
So you're saying that, and that which would not be a shape that you would see normal in nature.
Exactly. None of it fits naturally. It's too perfect and too precise. And so we may have to take our history further and further back, and this is what these secret societies are opening us up to, and understanding these ideas, if we're willing to take it. I mean, consider the projects that CERN are doing are named Atlas, which is the god of Atlantis, and then also Alice, which is through the looking glass. But we have to start to take this further. Now, when I made it to Portland after the V-shaped craft flew over, I met with Rex Diabolus Church, who is one of the ministers of the Church of Satan. Really nice guy, by the way. But now he starts describing to me his device to open a portal for the old ones to enter. So these are the type of concepts that they work with. Even Paul Laffoley, who is the Twin Tower architect, that's his same thing. He designs Kabbalistic gardens to invoke different spirits. And so we got to start to understand who our leaders are before we're going to understand where they're going.
But, you know, if you're meeting with this person and you're saying that it's a matter of whether it's how you use this magic, as you speak of it, it is as much of as much or more of anything is these things are out in our, you know, in our world everywhere, and so they put a power in those shapes and beings.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Albert Pike defines them as divine and peculiar powers, and you can see If you consider the street plan of D.C., and it has a pentagram within it, but the pentagram is not completed, this kind of throws it into a darker magic, according to magicians. And this would be the same symbol that Lockheed Martin uses, is the uncompleted pentagram. These symbols are symbols of power, but they're also symbols of allegiance, and so that they can see who's on board and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, they are defined as symbols of divine power, and this ancient sacred geometry is something that is being used in agreement with the new technologies, so that they would do these experiments using the sacred geometry. And then you take in the crop circles, you know, and it would be the same type of thing, a tweaking of the subtle frequencies to create a pattern. And, yes, it can be used for both good and bad.
What do you attribute those crop circles to?
Yeah, I really have no idea. they're too amazing to be any hoax.
Mm-hmm.
They're just way too in-depth and have hyperdimensional physics encoded into them. For me, we're dealing with different extraterrestrial races, and we're about to learn about all that. That's going to start to, disclosure will start to come. And I always say that the news will eventually catch up with the Freeman perspective. But we're looking at extraterrestrial connections with planet with star systems of Sirius, Alpha Draconis, and Pleiades are the three major players on planet Earth. And eventually the Earthlings will know this. But it's certainly the secret societies involved don't want you to have the full information because they want to use this against us. Because really, what they have us doing is mining this planet for resources. If you follow their agenda of what they've been doing and the mining of gold.
Well, but it would sound like it's actually a little bit more than just mining of gold if you are familiar with a little bit of what's going on with happening with some of these corporations and what the UN is doing with Agenda 21. Does that where there really are these companies that are getting these, I don't know if you call them contracts or concessions or whatever, where they're, you know, places where they are giving no-bid contracts in a sense for the mining of resources here on, you know, in America and various other parts of the world. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, gold is just the most prominent, but absolutely all the resources of Earth are being mined to, you know, excess. Certainly more than what we need here.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why they would pull it out of the earth and then stick it in the vault and then say it has value. And we try to come up with our own excuses and assumptions as to why they did this and why gold has value. You know, people say, oh, well, it's pretty, you know. But as you start to get into modern science, then you start to find, wow, okay, this stuff is great for electronics and space travel. We have to put it on the screens of our astronauts' face shields and on the windows of the space shuttle, you know, for high technology, gold, diamonds, and all of the precious metals and stones are for high technology.
So where's the history there on the extraterrestrials? You know, you might explain a little bit about, you know, why that, where that comes from.
Well, as I was saying, I somewhat remote viewed an image when I was 10 years old. And you can find this on my website on freemantv.com. This image I drew when I was 10 actually outlined the two races that are supposed to be in charge of planet Earth. Now, of course, I didn't know this at the time of drawing it, but what I found was I had put a symbol on each of the space shuttles that I put in the picture, and it was five space shuttles coming on a flying serpent, which, of course, the winged serpent is the symbol of Quetzalcoatl, and the ancient serpent of the sky of the Egyptians as well. Now, looking on our space shuttles, you'll see that the space shuttle titles, of course, are the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All challengers will be destroyed. Enterprise was added later, but we won't get it there. But the original titles were the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. Now, who's Columbia? Columbia is our goddess. And if you want to get deep into her, go to freemantv.com. I believe I'm the only expert on Columbia because I have looked for years and years for any other definition for Columbia other than mine. And I seem to be the only one. Now, the curious thing is that on each one of these space shuttles, I put a little symbol. Well, 18 years later, I come across a book, The Sirius Mystery, which is by Robert K. Temple, and it defines this race of fish beings that visited Mali, Africa, and taught the Dogon tribe all their secret mysteries and some of the secrets about their star, Sirius. Now, that symbol that the Syrians, or the fish gods, which they called them Nomos, or sometimes the repulsive abomination, was the exact same symbol I put on each of these space shuttles. Now, some may think that this is crazy, that I'm just reading into things, but now you got to go to SciTech and realize that there is a multinational psychic corporation already in existence. You know of SciTech, run by Major Ed Dane?
No, but does that get into remote viewing?
Yes.
That, yeah, because I know that governments have been doing it.
Tape from SciTech.
Uh-huh.
And basically what I have done is remote viewing. And so, you know, there's a great many things. The ambassador of our extraterrestrial gods spoke before Congress about cloning humans. And if anybody remembers Ra-El standing before Congress saying that they're going to go ahead and clone humans, whether Congress says it's okay or not.
Now, when was this?
And of course, I'm the only one strange enough to be watching this, but it was on C-SPAN. Shows up in his big white puffy suit. Now, the Raelians are a group that believe that the Elohim were an extraterrestrial race that came here and created human life and most all life on planet Earth. And now they're building an embassy in Israel for the Elohim's return. But the curious thing is the Raelian symbol, now realize Ra-El is Lord in Egypt and Lord in Hebrew, Ra being Egyptian and El being Hebrew. And that's where Kabbalism comes from. And then the symbol that the Raelians want to put on the embassy in Israel for the Elohim's return is the Star of David interwoven with the swastika.
That's interesting.
Well,
well, I also realize that, from what I understand, that the Germans were doing remote viewing back during the war, or before then even, maybe.
Yes, they were much into this. And basically, yes, they've just taken different esoteric techniques and turned them into a system. They say, I mean, the government says, and we're all psychic, and we all have this ability.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be trained.
Yeah. One thing, when you were talking about buildings, when something I was watching on your TV program, you were showing domes, and then I remembered hearing the name, the Brotherhood of the Bell, and then I looked at the dome, I'm going, that looks just like the German helmets.
Well, I find this. Now, back again to Sirius and these connections. Now, I went to the Philadelphia Lodge, which was Benjamin Franklin's Freemasonic Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And on the ceiling in the Egyptian room, in every corner, was the Masonic symbol for Sirius, which is the blazing star or the blazing pentagram. But in just above my head was another symbol, which just happened to be the Dogon symbol for Sirius right there, the very same one I put on all of my space shuttles.
Hmm.
Now, I was connecting this to what you just asked me.
About the domes?
Yes.
Okay.
So as we look to the Egyptian hieroglyph for Sirius, then we find that it is an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram put together. That is the hieroglyph for the star Sirius, and one of the earliest representations you will find of the pentagram. So as you look at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., we find that it has an obelisk, the Washington Monument, a dome, and then the goddess standing on top. Now, the goddess is a symbol of Venus, and she is also represented as the pentagram. Here in Austin, we have the clock tower, the dome, and the goddess standing on top of the Capitol. But our goddess is actually holding the pentagram. Now, that is the exact hieroglyph for Sirius. So if we're looking at a line that has come down through the ages, and we're looking at a group of people that are always forming signs of allegiance, I mean, we constantly find this with their flags, with their corporate logos, and now with a life-size or larger-than-life hieroglyph to Sirius in our capitals, because every capital you will find this same symbolism.
So, what do you think them naming a radio?
It had a pentagram for an eye, did it? Yes. It's all the same story as you start to look at it. Now there is an exopolitical institute that is run by Dr. Michael Sala, and in that he has used whistleblower testimony and other testimony that he has coupled together and come up with an explanation of where life came from on planet Earth. And we found these two races, one known as the Alpha Draconis and the other known as the Sirians. And now these are known as the Reptilians and the Merfolk. But we find it very intriguing. I find it very intriguing. And I don't think that Dr. Michael Sala would make this connection, but check this out. Now, the Alpha Draconis are known for controlling human elites, institutions, and financial systems. Militarism, creating a climate of scarcity, struggle, and insecurity. Also harvesting humans and manipulating greys and Earth reptilians. Now, the Alpha Draconians, with the controlling the human elites and institutions, this is just the definition that Michael Sala has come up with through his different researches into exopolitics or the extraterrestrial politics, and as they're symbolized by the reptile or the dragon. And of course, this very well fits London, in the city of London. And of course, their symbol is the dragon. But then you get to the other race, which was coupled with the dragon to control planet Earth, and that was the Sirians, of course, the merfolk or the fish people. And they are known to participate in technology exchange programs that promote military cooperation and to try and postpone extraterrestrial threats. Well, as we look at the Church of Rome, and we find the Pope wearing his Cult of Dagon hat, which looks very much like a fish head, we can easily link these two definitions to these two main powers on planet Earth, which rule from time immemorial, really. I mean, as the Church of England and Church of Rome have taken control, and also just following the ancient past into this. It's a strange coincidence at most.
While we're at it, I'm going to need to do a break here and just say that this is KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, community-supported radio, streamed on the Internet at khen.org, and you're listening to the program Truth Quest with Melody, and my guest tonight is Freeman Fly with the Freeman Perspective. Okay.
Now, of course, I wouldn't, you know, my theories I know are outside the boxes, but when the Vatican comes forth and says that the aliens are our brothers and that they probably escaped original sin and that there was most likely life on Mars, I take up and take notice. when the ambassador of our extraterrestrial god speaks before Congress about cloning humans, that's catching my attention.
Now, when was that you saw this?
I'd have to find, I think I have that note here somewhere. But I would have to find that in my notes, the exact date.
Okay.
If you just look up Ra'el or the House Resolution on Cloning Humans, I think it was 96.
Okay.
I had that note here somewhere, but it seems to have gotten lost.
And you don't think it was any kind of a hoax or anything? It would look...
Well, that's just the thing, isn't it? Now, here's Ra'el standing there in his puffy white spacesuit with his Star of David with swastika interwoven into it, standing before Congress. And the Raelians did a spread in Playboy, even. And they had the Raelian girls. So, it does appear to be quite hokey. But to me, I often will look at disinformation and say, okay, are they trying to make us not believe this, you know?
Well, is it kind of like a psychological thing they're doing there?
I'm sorry?
Is it kind of like a psychological thing they're doing there? Because, you know, even though we might reject it as being true, when you keep introducing something that seems so far out before, over a period of time, it doesn't seem so far out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they definitely went out of their way to make themselves look goofy. There's no doubt about that. But that makes me want to look at them even deeper. I mean, consider their cloning company was called Clonaid. And they announced the birth of Eve, the first human clone in Florida. That was actually, I believe, Christmas of 99 that they announced the birth of Eve, their first human clone. And they say that they've cloned 13 humans at this point. But they can't tell you anything about it, of course, because it's illegal.
Yeah, well, we know what illegal means in this country anymore.
You mean government sanctions?
Yes.
Yes, and that's really the truth of the matter, is that these sorcerers have a completely different agenda than what they're feeding to the public, and that they have much more going on. The Boeing poster for the Prometheus Mars mission has architecture on Mars. Now, that's the official Boeing poster. What are we to think of this?
Oh, I've seen some of these pictures, and the face on Mars and things of that sort, and they are kind of interesting.
Yes. Now, many people can discount, even though I don't. I firmly believe that there are pyramids on Mars. But the poster of Boeing, you know, what spurred them to put Sumerian architecture on Mars in their poster? I mean, that's the official Boeing poster for the Prometheus Mars mission.
Again, it's just all it gets stranger and stranger as, you know, which is, where does it blend in from the truth, from so-called mythology? And it's almost like they're making the past come true, as opposed to, you know, it just happening happenstance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I definitely see a lot of that, and how they follow revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly the Skull and Bones members all take names from revelations, so that I think what was it? H.W. was Magog. And then Bush somehow ended up, or W ended up with the name Temporary, which is in Revelation. I looked it up. But so then, yes, they come out and they try to fulfill this act. And so sometimes I wonder if the Bible is a way for them to carry forth their necessary needs. If it was a way of transmitting their information down through time to the elect, to the initiates, which didn't make any sense to us, you know, I don't really know what they mean by the dragon with 12 heads and 10 crowns, you know, that's all esoteric to me. But I wonder if they are fulfilling this sort of mission, because now Tex-Mars just reported that Bush was given the scroll of Gog. And so now we have Gog and Magog, you know, both being in the Bush family. I was trying to find that report, Tex-Mars.
Wasn't there also something about something having to take place with the towers coming down that was written? Was that in Revelation?
Yes. Well, the interesting thing was that Revelation 9:1 speaks of the god Abaddon, the beast of the pit. And I had recently found another correlation in the Quran of 9:1.
Well, those, and then again, you know, those numbers have meaning too.
Absolutely. Now, when we start to look into their numerology and start to realize that they are encoding things in this, that's how I predicted W being railroaded into office. Because the letter W is the same as 66, or 6 and 6, V being in 6 in Hebrew. So as I was doing corporate logos, I got the Philips 66 and was like, well, what is this? And so I figured it'd be easy enough, just look up a Kabbalist dictionary for 66, and sure enough, it's the number of the dark ones, the number of the fallen angels, or what is known as excrement in the field of magic. So W means excrement. But as you take, say, the symbol of Phillips 66, and you see that the crest has actually 6 points on it, and then it becomes 66 with the 6 points making 666, right?
Okay.
You could most of my stuff is very visual, so if you go to the website, then you get to see the pictures, and you can... Well, consider now, as Hitler came to power, he was an antichrist in their work, and a magician, was working with the Thule Society, or the Thule Society, however you want to pronounce that. And his symbol came out in the VW, or Volkswagen logo, which is two Vs interlaced. Which, again, we're back to the 66, the number of the fallen angels, the number of the dark side, which is also then interlaced, making three Vs, if you look at the Volkswagen symbol, making 666. Now you take Fox. Why is there, 20th century Fox, Fox Mulder, or Fox News, and all of the different Foxes that have come our way, Fox Searchlight? You take that into English, and you find that F is the 6th letter, O is the 15th letter, which 1 and 5 makes 6, and you find X is the 24th letter, which 2 and 4 make 6, so Fox equals 666. and we can go on and on. Back to the CERN logo, which is 666.
So there's a lot of ways to make that come about and still be out there in public view and not, alarm or people would notice that aren't looking for it.
Exactly. If you're not aware of these connections and the transliterations, you'll never know any of this. So I'm hoping to provide a key for people, because now, as I say, I predicted world events using this knowledge. And if more people can catch on to what I'm doing, then more people will be able to see this as the charade it is. And so, predicting W being railroaded into office was due to my understanding of Kabbalism and the meaning of 66 as an antichrist in the work. So I knew that Bush would be evil. I knew that he would bring about the 9/11 terrorist attack, because I've been watching that since the Bill Clinton era. The shock and awe campaign, all of these things, as you start to understand, and I want people to be able to see these type of inquiries so that they can start to decipher and get an idea of what's to come. Because for some reason, after I predicted 9/11, now I'll tell you, I did predict it to the day, and very curiously, now I didn't own a television at the time, so I didn't even know it had happened. What happened was a long line of people came to my door asking me how I knew. And their day was completely different than most of the Americans, because I had already told them that this was going to occur. So
what did you base that on?
Well, as I was watching what we called the Homeland Security Act, as they were trying to form this Homeland Security Department back in the Clinton era, that bill came up every October 1st. And so all through the Clinton era, I was waiting for what we now know as the Patriot Act. And I knew that, well, first of all, no one was voting for it. They were saying, well, good God, this is the most unconstitutional thing I've ever seen. And so no one was voting on it. So when I knew that they would need some sort of terrorist attack in the middle of September in order to bring this bill to pass. Now, all through the Clinton era, nothing happened. I kept waiting for a 9/11 scenario. Now, I picked the date 9/11. I knew it had to be in the middle of September just for timing. But I picked the very date 9/11 because it was the first day that HW announced the New World Order for the first time publicly in 1990, 9/11. So I picked my date, but when they railroaded the W into office, as I had also predicted, and I also said that he will be the last American president, because very much as Hitler was put into place to bring about this League of Nations and the UN and all of this, then W is here for the conclusion. same symbolism, you see, as Hitler. And so, as I predicted, this W being railroaded into office, the whole Jeb Bush conspiracy was a conspiracy within the conspiracy because the American public was supposed to be mad. You were supposed to know that he was railroaded into office. Otherwise, they would have never told you, and you would have just thought he got elected. But they wanted you to be mad. First, they wanted you to lose faith in your president, so they brought forth the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal and brought Bill Clinton out in front of the entire public and asked him about inserting cigars. I mean, that's beyond reason for a president, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as psychological warfare, it's great. And so everyone started to decline in their ideals, in the ideal of a president, and say, well, that's okay, you know. So he does a little drugs, so he's getting sex in the Oval Office, whatever. And then the next thing you know, they're railroading a president into office, and everybody's going, oh, man, we have no control. And then, of course, the next thing I predicted was that they'd tell you all your ministers were pedophiles, because you have to lose faith in everything. They want you to not have faith in anything so that you're easily taken over.
So that's kind of the breaking down process that they do, like if you go into the service or get initiated into an organization or anything of that sort. While I'm at it, there was significance on the 9/11 on the dates of the dedication of the towers. Is that correct, or Pentagon, one or the other, or both?
Yes, absolutely both. That was something that I discovered lately. I just wanted to mention that the Pope's quote was, "We will absolutely exclude pedophiles from the sacred ministry." So here it is. I made this prediction back 98, and here we are now in 2008, so 10 years later, and it's coming true. As I stated, first they brought down the president, then they brought down the system, and now they're bringing down the ministers. That's to let you all know that there are pedophiles in the ministry, but of course, it's always been that way. They just bring it out into the public light for psychological warfare. Yes, the dating of the pyramid, or of the Twin Towers cornerstone laying ceremony by the Freemasons was 9/11. I have not been able to reconfirm that data. I found it and then I lost it. And I have many people seeking it again. But it seems that it got erased from the web and from everything else. They didn't.
Now, I've run across it myself.
You did find it.
Yeah, I've found it. But also, now the part on the Pentagon, I'd heard that prior, and then I saw a different date. And so I wasn't quite sure what was going on there.
We got to make sure you're looking at the cornerstone laying ceremony, because that's the important date.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, that's different than the dedication.
Right, or okay. The groundbreaking. Or,
okay.
Oh, well, what I was going to get into was, considering this, as we're looking at these guys as magicians and as dealing with the holographic realm that we live in, and them being able to bust through with their Stargates and CERN and all of these strange factors going on, have you seen the bills that fold into the 20s?
Yes, I have.
Into the Twin Towers when you fold a 20?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have you taken it from the 5 to the 100?
No.
If you go through from the 5 to the 100, they go the Twin Towers, you'll see the first strike, you'll see the second strike on the 20, and then if you flip it over, you also have the Pentagon getting hit. And then on the 50, the Twin Towers are missing, and on the 100, just a wisp of smoke. And I do have this on film on my website if you just want a good look. Well, these were designed in 1996, which just happens to be the same year they were building the Seal of Solomon in front of the Nashville Capitol, and the same year Saddam Hussein began his Nebuchadnezzar reconstruction in Babylon.
Also in 96, I saw the movie that was made in 96, I believe, The Long Kiss Goodnight, and you're watching that movie, and then just out of nowhere, they describe the whole scenario of the 9/11 event in it, and you wouldn't have noticed it so much except that it was really out of context.
I'll have to see that again. I really I enjoy that movie. There's definitely something strange there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They do this with their predictive programming. And I don't know. Some of my theories go to the point where in viewing these things, we give up our free will, and that the video, our brain knows no difference between it and reality. And so if they promote it and project it into our brains through these films, then we have given our soul power over to allow them to complete their task. And when you're looking at magic, you got to think of things in that manner. But consider now as when we watched Revenge of the Sith, the latest Star Wars.
Okay, that I haven't.
You haven't seen this?
Mm-mm.
You should check it out because it outlines the decline and fall of the Republic.
Okay.
And of course, it has the bankers in there and the terrorists. And the terrorist looks just like Bin Laden, and he even has a cough. You know, as Bin Laden was supposed to be on electrolysis and all this. But the curious thing that I noted from my Kabbalistic studies was that when they took over the Republic, the senator that becomes emperor says, "Execute Order 66." And so right there in my world, it became W kills the Jedi. W is going to kill off because 66 is the W in Kabbalism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's upon Execute Order 66 in this movie that they destroy the Republic. And that's W.
And so they kind of like, everything that, what's really strange about all of this is so much of this is in their own writings.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that you can go to major documents and find that, you know, they're talking about so much of this that's taken place.
And they really do consider you to be too stupid to figure it out.
I mean, you'd look at the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah. Now, there again, there was the study of Fulcanelli on the cathedrals, and he found that cross of Hende, and he believed the cross of Hende had a coded end time message in it because there was a miswriting or misprint in the actual masonry. Now I found the same type of thing in the Guidestones when I went there. So Fulcanelli, you know, he's saying, well, I hardly think that it was just an uncouth mason that didn't know how to spell, and that secretly encoded into the message was the idea of death and resurrection or the rise of the phoenix. And I find the same thing in the Georgia Guidestones. When you go to them, now, of course, it has the outline of the new civilization written in 8 different languages, which, of course, starting with limit the population to 500 million, building a world court, creating a new living language to unite humanity, and all of these things that are outlined on there. But then you get down to the bottom of that, and it says, leave room for nature, leave room for nature, stated twice. And I thought that curious and perhaps a code, but what really caught my attention was when I went over to the marker stone next to the Guidestones, and you find that it's made, authored by R.C. Christian. Now, then it says a pseudonym, and they misspelled pseudonym. Now, was this just a lazy mason? I seriously doubt it. This was encoding and a secret into this message. And what's curious is that R.C. Christian is code for Christian Rosenkreutz, which is the Rosicrucians founder, or at least the mythological founder of the Rosicrucians. Then you find that it's the Rosicrucians that hold the deeper secrets of Masonry, of Freemasonry, and that Sir Francis Bacon was one of these members. And the concept of creating language and vibration through language, and we're back to these subtle planes again, because these are the very guys that have created our language for us. And Sir Francis Bacon, if you believe it, was Shakespeare. He was known as Spear Shaker, and created most of our language through the works of Shakespeare.
I do notice it, and I can't think of a good example right at the moment, but there are some real strange words in the English language that you just wonder, when you look at them and you examine them, it's like, There's no coincidence that that word has that sound or meaning, even though we use it in maybe another context or whatever, but you start looking at some of our words and it's like, you know, are you following what I'm saying a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I mean, is Israel, ISIS, Ra, and El? This is, you know, their trinity. This is El being Horus again, or being this Lucifer's type character. Is Ra El, ISIS Ra El? There just doesn't seem to be any doubt in my mind. And if you connect this to Freemasonry, then you'll find, and also to Hitler, the reason Hitler canted the swastika, as we know, the swastika being an ancient solar symbol, is usually just set straight forward, going one direction or the other direction, depending on if going to upper realms or lower realms in shamanism or magic. But the, Hitler took it and he canted it, right?
Meaning?
He turned it on a 45-degree angle.
Okay, all right.
And, of course, this is the logo for Columbia Sportswear. the canted square is a deep secret inside of Freemasonry that relates to the 47th proposition or problem of Euclid, or what we know as... Well, how this works is we're looking at the mathematics of Euclid, and you find that the Freemasons come into their temple and do a ritual where they walk around the altar 3, 4, and 5 times. They're going through their different rituals. And so that's the entered apprentice, the fellow craft, and then the master. So in doing...
Are you there?
Across, create the numbers 3, 4, and 5 in the lodge, correlating with the canted square, which relates to Osiris, Isis, and Horus. And Horus being the fifth one as you go around. Well, Horus is this solar deity. Horus is this rising sun that Bill Clinton was talking about. And so as we look at the Hitler symbol of the canted swastika, you realize that what he's actually identifying there is the solar deity that is outlined through this mathematics of the proposition of Euclid. I don't know if that was confusing or not.
Well, I'm not way up on my mathematics, that's for sure, even though I had a little bit of it.
Basically, this is the same symbolism of a Jesus character, the Mother Mary Jesus solar deity that we find. So from their standpoint, they're looking at a Christ figure, a solar deity, which they call Lucifer. Our goddess Columbia is Lucifer. And so they are absolutely Luciferians. By their own identification, we have the Statue of Columbia here in UT, and she has the pentagram and the shell, which are the symbols for Texaco and Shell. And these are symbols of Venus. And you can connect Venus as the morning star is Lucifer. So openly, we are Luciferians. If you look into the name America, you'll find that it was the Templars that were following their star of the West, which was Venus again, Lucifer. And their star was known as Murica. So that's actually where America comes from. So we actually are the Luciferians of this picture because we are created by Luciferians.
It's amazing how you can live your whole life and not see any of this.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things about, you know, when I noticed, you know, when they were having the elections and they kept saying, you know, WMD, WMD, and then the other side would say, there's no WMD, there's no WMD. And I realized that, and which I had no background in it, but later learned that, you know, there's a neurolingual programming where the mind doesn't hear no. And so if you're repeating something over and over and over, it still is programming into the brain. And so it's like you said, it becomes an acceptance.
Yeah, they're very good at that. They are so subtle. Well, that was I keep getting off track.
I'm sorry.
On the idea of those bills. Now, they program this into us with this concept and it's holographic. Our mind doesn't see it directly, but yet, now the curious thing was, in having predicted 9/11 and having a line of people outside my door going, "How did you know?" Three of those people had their 20 folded into the Twin Towers and asked me if I had seen this. Now, to me, that was more curious than being correct on my dating. Because to me, this was them admitting it or promoting the fact. Because it seems that once the initiation goes through, then they go ahead and tell you, okay, look, we've shown you this long before. You know, we found out the lone gunmen were having that. Everybody found 9/11 encoded into almost every movie they looked at. But these folded bills are a very amazing thing, and being that I predicted the 9/11 event, I knew how curious it was that they already knew about folding this bill on the day of. And I asked them, of course, you know, how did you know about this? And they, oh, it's all over the internet. Now, do you think somebody just happened to fold their bill that day? I have a hard time accepting that. I would more likely accept the explanation that these sorcerers are programming it into our reality and then making it reality. And I really believe that that gives us a large clue on the solution to the answer, which is our true soul free power, or free will, soul power, that we give up to them, because they train us in Masonic worship. We've been trained in Masonic worship since day one. We're trained to believe in our founding fathers, even though we find out that Benjamin Franklin may have mutilated bodies under his house, or he did have mutilated bodies under his house, but nobody knows why.
And was a member of the Hellfire Club?
Yes. And if you go to the Philadelphia Lodge, you'll find that in the Benjamin Franklin Hall, they have a big golden sun made of golden sperm. These guys are not on the same plane. It's not even the same year to them. If you went to these Masonic cornerstone laying ceremonies, you'd see that the cornerstones are dated to the Anno Lucius calendar, which is the Age of Light, back to the Luciferian. And you'll see that your courthouse is dated to the year 5,985, which would be 1985 to us. But if you take the Anno Lucius calendar, you add 4,000 years to the current date, and you get the Anno Lucius calendar, which goes right back to Babylon.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't quite follow where Anno Lucius came from.
So. I can't find it. I have hunted and hunted and hunted for that Anno Lucius calendar, but it's right on the cornerstones. You can go to any courthouse, you can go to your library, and look at any of the cornerstones. It'll always be in the northeast corner, and you'll find it dated to the year 5,000-something another. You know, the Anno Lucius calendar is the year 6,008 right now. But, you know, I can't find the calendar itself. I've been searching for that for a long time. But it's absolutely, you know, right there in the masonry. In the St. Louis Lodge, which is one of the larger Freemasonic lodges in America, where they have more of the higher rituals, it actually states Anno Lucius instead of just having the AL on there, so that you can see it right there for yourself.
Well, you know, you get into the Freemasonic symbology, but it isn't just the Freemasons that utilize it. Is that correct?
No. Yes. We definitely seem to have a Templar assassin connection, so absolutely the Muslim world fits into this, and their secret societies as well. There's a coupling in those two realms. But in America, it's absolutely wholly Freemasonic. England and France, wholly Masonic. But of course, the Masonic secrets go deeper and deeper inside, and you'll end up in the Rosicrucians. Or if you get into the outer realms of magic, as you start to study what you're actually doing in a Freemason lodge, you might end up in the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is the order of the Eastern Templars, which was made most popular by Aleister Crowley, which brings us to the line of our president.
You might get into that a little bit.
It's a curious thing, but But as you start to look into these secret societies and the members within, we find these secret bloodlines, and many are hidden. Walt Disney was a high-ranking Freemason, and his bloodline is hidden. He was used to do much programming to the American public and spur Masonic worship. You find that Hitler was most likely a Rothschild, but you can't prove it. It just happens that the pregnancy of his mother happened to coincide with her visit with the Rothschilds, or she was a maid in the Rothschild mansion. So then we get down to George W. Bush. Now, I'll tell you, Us Weekly just gave out a whole list of the different connections between bloodlines. And had George Bush related to Marilyn Monroe? Had Britney related, I believe, to Hillary? Had what was it, Brad Pitt related to Obama? It's all in Us Weekly now. They're showing us this here. But so what we have found is that these people from ancient Sumeria to now are obsessive with their bloodlines to the point of having sex with their sisters and different relatives in order to keep their bloodlines pure. So we find them wholly obsessed with bloodline. And my personal belief in the bloodline obsession is due to genetic memory, and that they want to keep these memories aligned in their bloodlines for their rituals. And that's how strange this gets. But what we actually find out is that in 1605, we have the false flag terrorist event we know as the Gunpowder Plot. And, of course, that was made quite popular in the V for Vendetta series or movie, which was based on a comic book by Alan Moore, who is giving the sign of the square on my website because he is a fine Freemason, and all of his movies are coded Freemason Masonic movies, From Hell, V for Vendetta. All of these are Masonic movies, The Matrix, which was an Alan Moore. But anyway, so in 1605, we have the Gunpowder Plot where Pierce and Catesby are trying, or Percy and Catesby are trying to blow up the Parliament with King James inside. Now, both of these two men were killed on the spot. Percy and Catesby were killed on the spot, but Guy Fawkes, who was the original fall guy, was brought before the public and was to be hung and quartered and all kinds of numerous things done to his body for public consumption, but he managed to jump off and break his own neck before they could torture him much further. But he was the original fall guy. But this bloodline of the Piercys, they had to hide themselves now and being caught in this mix-up between the Vatican and the Church of England and the blowing up of Parliament. And the Piercy bloodline changed their name to Pierce. Now, you come down the line and you find that it was the 14th president of America, which is Franklin Pierce. And he was a direct descendant of this Percy bloodline that tried to blow up King James. Well, then Franklin Pierce is ousted out of office and replaced by James Buchanan, the 15th president. And James Buchanan is a direct descendant of King James, who the Percy bloodline tried to blow up. And I find that very interesting, intriguing, and there are many other connections within there. But this Pierce bloodline comes down a little bit further, and we get to Pauline Pierce. And she is dating the owner of Red Book and McCall's magazine. And he hooks her up with Aleister Crowley. Now, they go off to France, Pauline Pierce and Aleister Crowley and a girl named Nikki. And they go off to France and they perform Aleister Crowley's sexual rituals, because that's mostly what the OTO, or Ordo Templi Orientis, is about, is high occult sexism, or sexual rituals. And she's performing these sexual rituals with Aleister Crowley in France. Now she returns, and suddenly she's pregnant. Now nobody knows, was it Aleister Crowley's child or not, because these things get covered up. But next thing you know, she gives birth to Barbara Pierce. Barbara Pierce marries the head of the CIA, George H.W. Bush, and becomes Barbara Bush. So The daughter of Aleister Crowley is Barbara Bush. If you put them side by side, which I have on my website on freemantv.com, you can look at the picture of Barbara Bush next to Aleister Crowley. If you tell me that she's not his daughter, I don't know what to say, because they are identical. They look so much alike. And so then you find out that W, our president, is the grandson of the Beast. 666 is Aleister Crowley used to like to call himself.
So
I can't prove that, but the connection between Pauline Pierce and Aleister Crowley is absolutely connected. We just don't know whether she got pregnant by Crowley.
I also find kind of interesting that the head of some Homeland Security's name in Russian means son of the devil. Chertoff. The head of the Homeland Security's name, Chertoff, means son of devil in Russian.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not hiding it anymore. There's no doubt about that. There's just too many 666s and beasts and everything going on. Certainly out in front of CERN, they have the god of destruction, Shiva, standing there with the skull and bones on his head. Once you open this up, but then you got to ask that question. Now, here we're seeing all of these 666s, and we're seeing these connections with beast and occultism. Is this real? I mean, is this where the Bible was telling us to calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man? Or are they just putting on a big show? Because a lot of times I see it as an alchemical wedding that they are performing. So they're constantly pitting one side against the other. And it certainly appears that America is supposed to be the high Satanist at this point. We're supposed to be evil. And this would work perfectly in their manufacturing of reality. So that now we're being promoted as being very stupid. Most of the TV shows show us as very ignorant. And then having this president that's going above and beyond in the ideas of terror and causing terrorism all over the world.
Well, I'm hearing somebody, and it might have been on one of your programs, talking about the mispronunciation of terror as Terra.
Yes.
Okay. And so
it would have been William Henry.
Yes, that's who.
And he is another one that has studied that device out in front of Nashville. Actually, he took me on the tour and showed me all of that device, the solid seal of Solomon, to bind spirits in front of the Nashville Capitol. William Henry, he's got some great theories and understandings on all of this. Now, we tend to disagree in that, is it good or bad? He likes to believe, he has a very optimistic viewpoint of all of this, but I don't, as I've looked into this brotherhood on their dark side, and I don't find them as pleasant as he does.
You know, when you get back into the history of these ceremonies and symbols and stuff, would they have been negatory in their design going back? What is it, Babylonian, Sumerian? Where does it begin?
Well, our earliest is the Sumerians that we have. Now, let's consider the Templars. Now, they were 9 knights that managed to take over the whole world. Our entire banking system is based on the Templars. Now, their structures, these cathedrals, are the most magnificent thing we've seen humans create so far. Since the pyramids and the ancient structures, the cathedrals are beyond most people's understanding. But yet the Templars seem to have been very greedy. They were very secretive, and they also wanted to rule the world. So we have this coupling of this sacred geometry, this high knowledge, what we call enlightenment, with warlords. And so it gets very difficult in trying to understand good from bad in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Templars, again, just to throw this out there, have left me with my next date that I am watching, which is 10/13, Columbus Day this year. which is the dating of the cornerstone on the White House. And as I, you know, found that they put the cornerstones of 9-1-1 on the Pentagon and the Twin Towers, I started looking for other significant dates, and 10-13 is absolutely one that's significant. And, of course, the name of Chris Carter, or the X-Files production company. It's also the day Nero took over Rome. It's the date that the Fatima mysteries happened. It's the date we established the Greenwich Universal Time Meridian. 10-13, I think, is going to be a very significant date in America in this year.
Well, I've already implanted the fact that with 9/11 that the White House might have been a target.
Right. So, yes. It wasn't that interesting when they started to announce their watch site. They had said the Arch of St. Louis and the Golden Gate Bridge and the Statue of Liberty were the things that they were going to protect after the 9-1-1 attack. Each one of these are Masonic symbols. The Mount Rushmore was another one. And, of course, it was like they were saying, oh, we're going to use all our military to protect our sacred Masonic symbols. To heck with all you people, you know.
Yet, you know, the Pentagon wasn't protected, and would that be a Masonic symbol?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The pentagram with the Pentagon.
And then there's also a symbol with the towers, too.
Yes, the Twin Towers of Jachin and Boaz within Solomon's Temple. And each and every Freemason knows about those two. But these also go back to the pillars that Stallone told us about in the ancient pillars of Atlantis, and also the pillars of Hercules, which is another Christ-like Luciferian character in the same story.
You must have done a...
I constantly find these connections. I did ask the World Trade Center architect Paul Laffoley about the symbolism of the Twin Towers and if it was connected to these columns of Jachin and Boaz, and he said no. He said that they were designed as representations of the Rockefeller brothers, and that one tower was 6 feet higher than the other because one Rockefeller brother was taller than the other. So I wonder if that to me got me curious as to whether there was an inner war with the Rockefeller families and the Rothschilds and these elite bloodlines, as they might be symbolically killing one another off. But I think that the Rockefellers did too well in this whole situation.
Well, I was also, I can't remember who, it was Joan Vian that was saying that Princess Diana was a Rothschild.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another curious note that came out in David Icke's work on that, which gave me a bit more of a clue into the Anna Nicole story, but that there was a Rothschild standing in that tunnel in the Ponte Alma to capture her soul upon death on this 13th column in an ancient ceremonial area Athena?
I'd heard something about that ceremony, but it just... and that it being significant that she die there, it just gets more bizarre.
Uh-huh, it really does. I mean, you find that the 13 is the number of the goddess. You find she died on the 13th pillar in the ancient place where they used to worship the goddess. And
there's some significance in where she's buried.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, with the fountains. Yes. I can't remember all of that now, but absolutely. And you find that these bloodlines are critical to invoking the proper spirit. You know, that's all I can, as I look at this from a magical perspective and studying what magic is, then you find this DNA connection, of course, and those that have this purest bloodline seem to be able to tap into these altered entities. And that's really what magic is about invoking entities. And certain bloodlines have DNA receptors from their genetic memory, and I just following the clues has led me to believe this, that there is such a soul-sucking going on by these elites. To the point where if we look at Anna Nicole, we see that she had her baby. Now, her baby also had a hidden bloodline. many people might not know this, but Anna Nicole's baby was claimed to be born from Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who seems to be a Russian experiment to resurrect a child of Hitler, so that they inseminated Gretel Braun, Eva Braun's sister, and gave birth to Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who would be basically Hitler's child. Now, Prince Frederick von Anhalt is married to Zsa Zsa Gabor, who is also listed as a presidential model mind control slave, and keeps her locked inside of his mansion with a padlock.
Really?
Now, Prince Frederick von Anhalt then claimed on front page news and on the news that he was the father of Anna Nicole's child, Daniel Lynn. Which makes Daniel Lynn, well, if we realize that Hitler was a Rothschild, then if Prince Frederick is the descendant of Hitler, then the baby is a Rothschild through a Nazi bloodline. Now, this same child had the firstborn, Daniel Smith, murdered or dropped dead in front of her in the hotel in the hospital room. He comes, and this is ritually on the third day of the birth of Daniel Lynn. Daniel Smith is brought to the hospital room and mysteriously drops dead in her presence. 3 months later, the goddess, Anna Nicole, drops dead in front of the baby.
Now, this is one, I did not follow any of this because...
Well, we've got the ritual sacrifice of the firstborn and the ritual sacrifice of the goddess with a Rothschild baby that has been given $1 billion by an oil, Nazi oil tycoon, whose name I can't seem to call up. They had married Anna Nicole off to this oil tycoon, who was a Nazi, and he left her all his millions, or billions.
Uh-huh.
But the billions were tied up in a strange clause inside of the, I was trying to look up his name, I'm sorry. In his will, mm-hmm. There's a strange clause that even the lawyers on CNN and C-SPAN were going, well, we're not quite sure what to think of this clause. They never fully explained it, but it turned out that the money was just kind of floating around and nobody could really take it. And they kept wondering who was going to get the money. And, of course, everybody thought that that would be the reason that Howard K. Stern or what was his name, the one that they said actually was his father. Sorry.
Well, I'm not going to be any help on it because that was...
Sorry.
It just got so bizarre, I just, you know, turned off the TV and didn't even go near that one.
Well, you should definitely check out my story on Anna Nicole Brittany and mind control. You won't believe it because I've tied... and I wrote this article as it was being presented to me. And at the moment that they brought Anna Nicole before us in that clown makeup... was the moment that I posted the article. I already had an eight-page article written about the trauma-based mind control, the sacrifice of the firstborn, the goddess, and all of this. And then they bring Anna Nicole out in that clown makeup. And when you realize that I'm looking at this as a ceremonial type thing, Anna Nicole is, that clown makeup she's wearing is actually the flag of Iran.
Really?
Yeah. I have it side by side on my website. You can see it. It is absolutely the flag of Iran on Anna Nicole's face. And then she sacrificed, as far as I'm concerned, in a ritual, sacrificing the firstborn and then the goddess to this baby who is now the inheritor of $1 billion from a Nazi oil tycoon that is actually the love or the granddaughter of Hitler, if you follow the Frederick von Anhalt conspiracy.
Who writes this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's real to be unreal. That's the thing. Because I have it well outlined on my website. And what really tripped me out was CNN came out and started trying to counter my article. If you look up Anna Nicole and mind control, you'll find a CNN article trying to discredit my whole article.
So you just got a little got out there into the public quite
it
a bit.
Did.
There.
Uh-huh. Yes, I, that That was a moment when I said, oh, my God, I really have drawn my line in the sand, haven't I? But that's what we have to do. We can't fear them. We've got to go ahead and just let our creative flow go. We've got to quit serving this evil brotherhood. We need to step out of this box and start to let our souls shine, because humans are creators, and that's what makes us so special. And all they're doing is manufacturing what we create. So they go ahead with people like Walt Disney and with the media, and they program into us what they want reality to be, and then we create it. So as soon as we take over our own imaginations, our own creative free will, and start designing the planet from our hearts and our souls, then we can have control. The problem is we never realized that we had these reality manufacturers doing this to us, embedding and encoding little messages to us and getting us to worship them. And them not playing by the same rules at all is what they have outlined for us.
Well,
it's truly the answer to our problem.
Well, I was listening to Michael Tsarnaian talk a little bit about how he took children, you know, some indigo children, you know, really, really smart children, and showed in front of a TV how to start really looking at the TV so that they could really see it with the correct eyes, and what they were relaying back to him, what they were starting to realize what was being programmed into them.
Yeah. You can look at it like, I mean, in my childhood, now I'm not that old. I'm 40 now, and I graduated in 85. Now, back then, of course, I was raised on Leave It to Beaver and you know, Andy Griffith and all of these quaint shows. But now we look into our high schools, and there's rape and drugs and murder. I mean, these type of things, that didn't exist when I was in high school. We certainly didn't have police officers and see-through backpacks and all of that. And this was a mere 20 years ago, and yet now we've been moved straight into this evil type of situation where all the kids are being indoctrinated. And really, what was it? It was MTV, was it not, that really came into play and started indoctrinating the kids into more of this satanic nature or adversarial nature. It's not that humans just keep getting worse and worse. We are being programmed to be these type of adversaries.
Give a little background on your dad, too, while you're at it.
Well, that was another strange thing, and that really clued me into the idea of genetic memory. Because all of my life, I have been into studying the pyramids, studying UFOs, and all of the crazy knowledge that I have now. And then, after learning about Freemasonry and the connections there, then I find out my dad's worshipful master. I find out that my father was worshipful master for a German lodge called the Kaiserslautern Lodge, and that he was in Project Blue Book, chasing flying saucers for the government. He told me, yes, absolutely, flying saucers are real. He was on Killer One submarine with Jimmy Carter, the first nuclear submarine, and then was building nuclear missiles for Martin Marietta when I was born. And all of this because he knew the secret handshake and wore an apron, if you understand my drift.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 51% of our presidents have all worn aprons and had the secret handshake. All of our astronauts knew that secret handshake and wore aprons. So, yes, here I find, after I'm deep into all of the studies, I find that my father is involved. It wasn't the other way around. And then I find also that my mother was involved, and that she's in the Eastern Star, and she played the role of Esther, which is Madonna's new name, and that my mother actually met Walt Disney, and I have a number of Mouseketeer certificates, and you find that this whole Disney program is nothing more than a military-industrial mind-control program. And there's a good reason why all of our leading pop stars are ex-Mouseketeers. They're being used to program our children. There's no doubts about that. Christina Aguilera's lyrics, or now you can go with Hannah Montana, and just how evil these corporations really are and what they're doing to the children and doing to our world and our minds. Scooby-Doo, do an in-depth study of Scooby-Doo. Disney's gargoyles and all of these programming into children that we find. You continually come back to these Freemasonic ideas and the concepts of Atlantis, witchcraft, and the uses of these. And then this brings you back to the fallen angels, the Book of Enoch, and the connections with why Superman or Batman became Azrael. I know it's out there, but as soon as you start to dig into it, you're going to just be overwhelmed with the symbolism. There's no chance why there's a bit apple, an apple with a bite taken out of it as the symbol for Macintosh or Apple computers. And this is the original sin, you know? These things are not chance, and they all fit within a code. Everything fits within the sacred mysteries of the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons, and it all goes back to ancient Kabbalism, which is Hebrew mysticism, which actually comes out of Egypt, so it goes back even further than just the Hebrew mysticism.
Well, I really have to thank you for giving quite a history there on the different symbolisms and how it all ties in together, and yet, you know, it may seem like it's just too far out, but I guess, you know, I mean, when I look at what I understand today and maybe what I understood, you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago, you know, it's amazing. Yet I run across people that have studied that sort of thing and have been aware of it for, you know, for far longer than I have. So a lot of what's going on in our world is, it's already been pre-planned. I mean, and like America was probably pre-planned to fulfill certain things that, you know, and what I understand, that's the case, that, you know, they'll plan 100, 200, 300 years in advance. Is that correct?
Yes. If you look into The New Atlantis by Sir Francis Bacon, mm-hmm. it outlines the School of Solomon and pretty much what America was going to become. You'll find that he's also discussing Tesla technology, and that was written in the 1700s. And he has little boxes of power generators that generate the homes and generate everything in New Atlantis. So this high technological aspect is even right there back in the 1700s. So you really got to wonder how long they have known what they know.
Wow. Well, I really thank you very much for coming on the program. It's been really interesting, and I hope, you know, you'll come back again, Freeman.
So, sure thing.
Okay. Well,
I'm always open.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Melody.
Bye. And this is Truth Quest, and it's KHENLP 106.9 Salida.